For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another roundup and more insight from the world of non-league football. I round up alone with my usual co-host, entangled in the messy run-in to the end of the season as the end of April nears. Never a problem if you can survive my voice and opinions. Now, it's been another hectic week and 2018 is going so quickly, but it is nice to see that still so many of the ups and downs are still undecided as we head into the final week of the season for most, although there are plenty of matches still to be played. So let's have a quick run over some of the news of the week. There seems to be a new trend, or certainly one I'd not noticed as obvious in the previous seasons, managers announcing that they are leaving or retiring from the dugout completely at the end of the current campaign, weeks before the end of the season. John Brough has confirmed this week that he will stand down as manager of Southern League Division 1 West Club North Lee at the end of the season. Malcolm Porter is also to step down at the Northern Premier League Division 1 South Club South Park at the end of the current campaign. And after a league win midweek and with a cup final still to look forward to, Tommy Brookbanks has announced his intention to step down and indeed retire from management come the final whistle this season after 3 years in the hot seat at Northern Premier League outfit Colville Town. There's also still points penalties being handed out. This time Braintree Town on the receiving end from the National South. They deducted a point having played a suspended player. The club's website reads, "The FA charge against both the club and player Mark Anthony Okoye resulted from the FA creating two sets of records for the same player on their member services system, MSS, in the name of initially Mark Okoye and then subsequently Mark Anthony Okoye. This resulted from the incorrect allocation by the FA of the name for the caution of Mark Anthony Okoye as just Mark Okoye, incurred by the player on the 12th of August. 2017. Following a caution received by the player on the 6th of January, our club secretary Tom Woodley checked the entry on the FA's MSS thereafter and did not state that any suspension was imposed. The first notification of a two-match suspension was on the 17th of February when the FA informed the club that the player had played on both 13th of January away against Chippenham Town, which we drew 1-1, and the 20th of January, home against Hempstead Town, which we lost 2-1, while under a suspension, although their MSS had not confirmed a suspension throughout January. So it seems an admin error, not necessarily of the club or the players doing, could affect Braintree Town's playoff hunt now, with just 3 games to play. Further down the pyramid, it appears that Letcombe FC will drop from step 6 in the Hellenic League Division 1 West currently when the end of the season comes about, as they will fall foul of ground grading rules requiring floodlights at that level. Better news for Truro City. Cornwall Council this week approved partial funding for their new stadium development, which is to be shared with the Cornish Pirates Rugby Club and Truro and Penrith College. £3 million will be given by the council for the £14.3 million budget development, with another £3 million expected from central government for the scheme that already has planning permission. The team behind the stadium for Cornwall still expect it to be ready for the start of the 2019 rugby union season. With Caroline Barker of this parish back from the Commonwealth Games, but sadly not with us today, we should mention, of course, Chelmsford City striker Scott Fenwick. He scored 7 goals in 2 games for the Clarets with back-to-back hat-tricks of penalties. On Monday, April the 9th, in the National League South at home to Whitehawk, he scored from the spot on 13 minutes, 74 minutes and the 92nd minute. Then last Saturday, April the 14th, Chelmsford went to local rivals East Thurrock United and he netted 4 times, 3 of those from the spot, helping Chelmsford win 4-2 and continue their playoff push. Back-to-back hat-tricks of penalties and 4 goals in 9 games. Not a bad signing considering he only signed on the 9th of March for Chelmsford City. And while we're debating various issues across football, what about the FA, Premier League and English Football League apparently reaching a decision in principle on the winter break for season 2020? Should non-league follow suit, or could it become an opportunity for non-league teams to get some much needed income in the winter months, pushing crowds and attendance initiatives like we do during non-league day? Get involved in the debate on Twitter throughout the week at Non-League Show. So let's get our first guest on. We've spoken about player availability before when it comes to this stage of the season, with a mountain of games to cram into a short space of time alongside other commitments. Not being able to field a team on a Saturday afternoon in April, however, is not something often reported, so we wanted to follow up and find out more. On Saturday, in the Southern League Division 1 East, Ashford Town Middlesex travelled to Marlow for their league game, only to find it called off. Marlow quickly, later that day, put out a statement that read, "At around 13:45 today, 14th of April, with only one member of the playing squad at the ground, manager Mark Bartley was trying to make contact with the players who had previously been advised of their selection to establish their whereabouts, but was unable to make any contact by telephone or receive text replies of not available. Neither the club nor manager had been made aware of anything untoward prior to this time. The match officials and Ashford Town Middlesex officials were immediately apprised of the situation, as were the Southern Football League. Time was given to see if the situation could be resolved, but at 3 p.m, with the situation unchanged, Marlow FC confirmed that they were not in a position to fulfil the fixture, which was consequently postponed." So that was Saturday, and much moves on in the world of football. So to explain some more and where everything is now, we're joined on the line by the name-check manager of Marlow FC, Mark Bartley. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening. Are you all right?
I'm good. Now football isn't everything, but you've been a player, now a manager. Was Saturday one of the worst days of your life?
It was one of the strangest, I guess, in the sense that obviously, you know, you kind of get yourself ready for a game, and then the game doesn't take place. So it's one of the strangest ones, I'll say. I've had, I don't know how it compares to getting beaten by 6 or 7 goals, but I've had a couple of them, so, yeah.
We didn't know about those ones, you didn't have to mention those. So what exactly happened? I mean, the statement says that, you know, quarter to two, you only one and turned up, and then you're trying to get hold of everybody, and then just not getting the replies you wanted. So, had you any inclination whatsoever?
No, I mean, look, you know, it's one of those things. I think we've had a few issues at the club, and, you know, I think we've been, obviously, which have been well documented, and it was a case of really, you know, I guess, you know, the players, you know, some of whom were, you know, genuinely unavailable, I guess, and that, you know, someone asked me the other day if there'd been any kind of coordination, and I guess, you know, if you get your whole squad not available on the same day, then that's the case. But I think, you know, it's easy, I think, at the moment for people to, or what I've seen is a lot of people sort of levying all the blame onto the players, and it really isn't that. I think it's been a sort of it's something that's come about that I think we all kind of have to share a little bit of the responsibility for. So I think, you know, obviously the players not appearing in the game, not going ahead, naturally, you know, from the outside looking in, everybody's kind of thinking, well, you know, what's up with the players, and what have they done, and why haven't they turned up? But, you know, there's, like I said, there are a few issues that have been going on, and I think it just kind of was everything coming to a head.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, I think, if trouble's the right word, the club's been in trouble since before Christmas, when I think it was a sponsor that pulled out, and then, but those players that have stuck around, you know, in difficult circumstances. You know, they have supported the club, so as you say, you know, the players are getting a lot of stick, but, you know, no one really knows the full situation. If it's their full-time job and they've had to take pay cuts or something, things like that, then there's a lot of other factors. And, I see it from a different, as a fan's point of view, as a journalist, but also from trying to run a football club. You know, money doesn't just sort of get posted through your letterbox in the morning and it's all there. You know, sometimes there isn't the money there that you want or that you've promised to everybody, simply from when you're running a football club, powers beyond your control, as much as you'd like to promise, you know, sometimes things don't go right, do they?
No, and I agree with that. I think that's the case. I think it's been a situation where, you know, things, you know, it's been a sort of chain of events. So, you know, it's definitely not, like I said, it's not anybody's fault individually. I think, you know, with regards to the club and the decisions they've had to make with the budget, I think, you know, I said at the time when it happened, you know, it's prudent. I think the directors and the board are custodians of the club, and, you know, their job is to primarily make sure that there's a club there tomorrow, you know, next year and the year after, and a club that continues to exist. So if it's prudent for them to kind of cut their cloth accordingly, then so be it. The players, you know, deserve a lot of credit because, you know, there have been a few of them that have had options to to leave the club and to go and earn a lot more money at other clubs. And they stuck around, and I think that shows how much they kind of care about the club. And clearly, you know, I stuck around as well when I think lots of people that were asking me at the time whether or not I would do. And obviously, for me, it's a case of, well, look, you know, I commit to this club. You know, I've been at the club a long time. Well, you know, nearly 6 years. And you know, I don't sort of just walk away from a challenge. So, I think everybody loves the club, and I think that's clear. And it is tough, you know. And I think that, you know, really what happened on Saturday was kind of the result of a bit of a breakdown in communication. And I think that, you know, we've kind of all got together on Monday just to try and iron that out and make sure that we don't find ourselves in that situation again.
Yeah, I was going to mention that you know, on Saturday, the game gets called off, but, you know, with the fixtures coming thick and fast, you then had a fixture on Tuesday night, short trip to Charlton St. Peter. But you had that clear the air talk on Monday, and it looks like it did the trick.
Yeah, you know, Monday was a challenging day for us, and I think everybody got together. And I think the key thing was that, you know, the board, the playing squad, myself, we all got in the room together, and I think that by itself indicated that, you know, everybody wanted this situation to be resolved. You know, everybody wanted a resolution that was, you know, that was going to work for all of us. So I think that was the main thing. And I think if you've got goodwill on all parts and everybody kind of wants to make it happen, then I think that's always a great place to start. So we did that. Got together on Monday. It was, you know, we had a sort of frank, open conversation. I think, you know, some things that kind of needed to be said from all sides, and everybody kind of getting a better idea in terms of how each other were feeling and what everyone was doing. And then the benefit of that, obviously, was that we're able to get a side out on Tuesday and go to, you know, a Chalfont side that have been doing really well this year. And but for a last minute lapse of concentration, we would have come away with 3 points. So it was nice to just get back on the pitch and just to focus on football again, to be honest, because it's been 72 hours preceding that was just constantly about, you know, what had happened on Saturday. So great to get back on the pitch and great to get a good result and great performance from my players who I'm extremely proud of.
So maybe more clubs should get everybody in a room and have a very clear the air rather than going on these away days or spending money at the races. You know, it seems to be that, yeah, there are still at this time of the season, there's always going to be those little niggles between different people and that. And I understand, yeah, you mentioned like communication issues, and I've seen that in various reports and that I think there were various rumours going around about different things and that getting everybody in that room just allowed you to dispel those rumours, you know, particularly in the age of social media, you can just like shut everything down and tell, you know, to everybody position from your point of view, from chairman and everybody else involved in the board.
Definitely, and I think that was key. I think, you know, exactly that breakdown in communication, people not really sort of speaking to each other. I think, you know, the basis for my players is they got some information from somebody that they viewed as a trusted source within the club that, you know, when we're in the room, we all established that it wasn't accurate. And I think, you know, the club, the board, were they able to understand, okay, these players have made a decision based on information that they view to be from a trusted source. The players were then able to understand from the board that actually what you'd been told hadn't been, you know, isn't accurate. And I think from that point on, it was pretty clear that, you know, it was a case of we just haven't been talking to each other enough. I think also my players, you know, one thing that I will say about them is that they're one of the things that really influenced, I think, their uncertain state was that, you know, they were hearing rumours about, you know, me leaving the club and the club, maybe the board not fully supporting me. And so, you know, somewhere in the midst of what happened on Saturday was, you know, almost like a show of loyalty and, you know, some solidarity between my squad in terms of trying to support me as their manager. So, you know, whilst I, you know, there are different ways to handle situations and everything else, you know, I had to come away and say, you know, I even said to the board that for a squad of players to do that because they fear that their manager might go or might not be at the club for much longer is humbling as an individual. And so I think, you know, what we've come out of this situation with, I think everybody kind of in a, you know, a little bit better than Bruce, but I think everybody in a slightly better position and really a little bit more comfortable around each other to just kind of say what we're thinking and hopefully give us a great platform to move forward.
Yeah, it sounds like you must have had those complete ups and downs from Saturday at 3 o'clock when you must think the whole world's against you. And then you come out of that meeting on Monday and you think actually everybody's behind you and sort of singing from your hymn sheet.
Yeah, and I think that showed in the performance yesterday. I think I watched us yesterday and we were everything was committed. We shirked no challenges. We made all the recovery runs. You know, everything was there in that performance yesterday, apart from that little bit of lack of concentration at the end. And I think for a manager and for the board and for the supporters that came and watched on Tuesday at Chalfont, I think that pretty much showed that we're all fighting for the same cause. And like I said, I hope it's one of those things that, you know, we look back on as a potential sort of inflection point and maybe the point at which we start to get ourselves back on an upward trend.
Yeah, you mentioned you've been at the club for 6 years. Any discussions with the board at the moment? Are you going to be there beyond the end of the season going forward? You know, you certainly sound like you've got the momentum now.
Yeah, I think for me, it's always been about my players. And, I had a chat on Monday when we're all in the room. I think it's clear that we all kind of want the same thing. So, you know, I'll be speaking to the board this week. And, the more that I think about it, I think my expectation is that, you know, we're all sort of, like I said, we're all after the same thing. So I can't see any reason really to change my scenery at the moment. And, I don't think they want to change manager at the moment. So, we know each other well enough. And I think it's almost like being part of a family. You know, sometimes in families you have these fallouts and then, you know, but it happens when you're around each other that much for that length of time. Then, you know, every now and again something like this will happen. So, I've got, like I said, a great deal of love for the club and my players love the club and, you know, the board loves the club as well, obviously. So, I see no reason for me to sort of change my scenery at the moment.
Great stuff. And now another fairly local trip to Hamill Town this weekend. Are you going to be like me? Yep. When I leave the house for an overseas holiday, I double pat down myself. I check the boot. I check my, you know, I just make sure that I've got my passport and my tickets, you know, 1,001 times. How many texts do players expect from you this weekend?
What? I'll tell you what, it was a little bit like that on Tuesday. You know, we got texting out for Tuesday's game and just waiting for the available text to come back. And maybe I'll be a little bit more hesitant on Saturday than usual. But, you know, being serious, look, I talk about them as my players because that's exactly what they are. They're my players. And, I don't doubt that they'll be there on Saturday, and it's and I don't doubt that I'm going to get another full-blooded performance from them. So, you know, I trust these guys implicitly. They made a decision made based on some kind of sketchy information last Saturday. But you know, these guys love the club and they love everything about it. So it's we'll be there and we'll be ready to go on Saturday. So hopefully, if I was the manager of Hanwell, I'll be like, you know, as long as he gets his players there and they don't think they can have a Saturday off to their play, and I think we might not show up.
Well, lovely to speak to you as ever, Mark, and it's great to hear that, Andrew, you know, after a difficult week, you've still got that passion that we all love about you, and we wish you well at Marlow and for this and the coming season. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks a lot. No problem.
Nice to hear that everything's resolved down at Marlow. Obviously, it's still subject to the league making a decision as to what happened. Probably the precedent set earlier in the season when Bedford Town's fixture was called off in similar circumstances just before kick-off. I think that one ended up being replayed. Obviously, very few opportunities now for that game to be replayed. It will have to be replayed at some point and hopefully not impacting on the number of games that clubs have got to play, particularly if they're playing people that are involved in relegation, probably not in that division, but certainly a potential impact with playoffs. And obviously not a great thing for the fans, particularly the fans of Ashford Town who have made the travel there. Maybe
this is the second time this has happened in this division this season. So maybe there's something that the FA needs to look at. It's difficult to jest what could be implemented, but you know, these are the sort of situations that we should get people around on a group situation discussing. If you want to join in the debate, you can, of course, on Twitter at Non-League Show, and it'd be great to hear from you. Okay, so we've spoken a lot this season to players on loan from Football League clubs gaining valuable playing experience in the upper echelons of non-league. If you do well, you have the chance to become a club hero amongst the adopted fans. If you don't quite impress enough for an extended stay, you could see yourself on the loan merry-go-round and beginning to wonder whether life as a footballer is what you always dreamed of. For one young striker, a prolific youth career at Millwall's Academy and a goal as a young 18-year-old in the Championship, it all looked good. Then injury struck, and fighting back to fitness via the under-21 side at Millwall and back into the first-team squad, his appearances were then limited to late off-the-bench roles with a senior side. Joining Woking on loan at the start of this season in the National League, his loan was extended to the end of January before returning to Millwall. Within 2 weeks, however, he was back on loan to Welling United in the National South and has been impressive, so much so that he's earned the Player of the Month award in March, his first full month, and with 6 goals in 10 appearances, it's clear to see why. Hopefully that's not made his head swell up too much, as joining us on the line is Welling United striker on loan from Millwall, Jamie Philpott. Good evening, Jamie.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm good. Now, what about yourself? Is that a fair history so far? I think you also had a brief spell at Bromley as a youth loan. Is your up and down tale, is that one similar to many lads coming through the ranks of the professional game?
I'd say so, especially if you're at the age I am at the moment and you're not in or around the first team currently. You want to be going out on loan, going to the non-league as it is at the moment, such a high standard, and getting valuable game time to improve, get fitness, get match games, which is what's important for when you go back to your parent club, and hopefully that's enough to earn you a new contract and put you in the side.
Yeah, and you've really been finding the net at Welling. Is it the maybe the level in football, the team, the formation, or is it just luck that you seem to have clicked into gear there?
I believe it's down to the formation with the way that I play. Whereas at Woking, they played with one striker, whereas at Welling, we've played with two or even three at the time, and the team understands the way I play. And so they play the way I play, if that makes sense. So
gets the best out of me.
Behind. Yeah, they get the best out of me by playing the balls that benefit my game, and then, as you say, like get the goals in, get the assists in, and create as many chances as possible.
And how different is it to be able to play week in, week out than you just coming off the bench for the last 5 minutes, you know, at a high level?
I'm actually loving it at the moment, playing week in, week out. At the moment, I don't want the season to end. There's only 3 games left to go. Because it's the first time, really, I've been playing week in, week out regularly, whereas with the under-23s at Millwall, you don't tend to do that. So I'm loving the football, the amount of football I'm getting, and continue loving to score. Yeah. Getting my enjoyment back in football.
We've spoken to a number of goalkeepers this season that have done a similar sort of thing, you know, gaining experience down in the National League, National South and that. And it seems to be similar with strikers that you know, your whole game really is based on confidence. If your confidence is down, then obviously you're not going to be able to perform to the best of your ability. But when your confidence is up, like, you know, someone like you banging in the goals at the moment, as you say, you want the next game to come like immediately, don't you?
Yeah, of course. I think that's with full strikers and all teams. If you're winning, you're performing well, then you want the next game to come, and then the next one, and then the next one, to keep turning up the same performances and getting the results that you wanted. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the remaining few games of the season and seeing what happens at the end of it.
Yeah, you mentioned about a Woking not being able to, not necessarily playing your style of football, but I mean, you did score goals in the FA Cup against Bury, so it could be some pretty decent memories overall, your spell at Woking earlier in the season.
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time at Woking. I think the lads are brilliant, the management, they were brilliant, but as I said, I think the only thing holding me back from reaching my full potential there was probably the formation that we played with the one attacker. And then even, I think, in the cup games, I even played as the number seven a couple of times where I scored against Bury. And so I had to go out of position and I still managed to score a couple of goals, get a couple of assists in that position. But I just found my playing time there was limited due to the formation. But I got a few goals there. I played well there. And that's when I started to enjoy playing like regularly when I got into the team.
And Anthony Limbrick obviously left Woking as manager. And they now find themselves, well, in the relegation spots. Do you still stay in touch with any of the lads that you played there? You know, what's their mood like and resolve?
Yeah, I still speak to a few of the players now and again. And I messaged the, I believe, the manager now, Jason Goodliffe down there.
A friend of the show, Jason Goodliffe, yes, indeed.
Yeah, I was messaging before the game against Bromley, saying like all the best, like usually all the best for today. Like got more than enough to win the game. Just got to keep the confidence up, keep going to the end of the season, and I'm sure you'll stay up.
Does that happen? Does that happen at the higher levels? That sounds very, you know, this non-league camaraderie that we talk about. Would it have happened at Millwall? You know, would you send that to another manager or a player of a similar standing with you?
I'm not too sure. I think it's got to be, case by case, but the relationship I had with him was like, very good. Like, used to come in like before training, do like our own sessions, well, like one-on-one sessions outside for him to try and get me to improve on certain aspects of my game. So I enjoyed that part of it. And then like, we also had good banter as well off the pitch as well. He still owes me a coffee. From the game that you lost,
I'm sure Jason owes everybody.
I'm still
the
waiting for it. Yeah.
Now we obviously are back to Welling. Defeat this week by Whitehawk, who were trying to beat their own battle against relegation, which they now lost. That put paid to Welling's own playoff ambitions, really. But we spoke to director of football Tristan Lewis, who's there a couple of weeks back. And he suggested there was a great vibe going on in the dressing room there at Welling and beyond the dressing room as well. Have you found that?
Yeah, I'd say it's similar to the time that I spent at Woking. As you say, the camaraderie was there. Everyone's enjoying their football. Everyone's happy at the time. Everyone's, as you say, apart from the last couple of games, we've been winning. We've won like 5 or 6 out of 7. So everyone was enjoying it there, as I said, playing well, scoring goals. So everyone was happy with that, really. And even the fans, especially away from home, the ones that made the trips all up and down the country, the support has been unreal.
Yeah, and do you think they can bounce back ready for next season and put a proper challenge in, maybe for the title, perhaps?
Yeah, I know we spoke about it. The manager, Coyley, spoken about it in the team, which we all agree on what he said about if we had the team that we have now at the start of the season, then things would have been a lot different. But obviously there's a lot of change in football, so you can't always have what you want. But I think he's a very good manager, as well as the assistant manager as well, Jack Parkinson, and they'll do a great job together.
Yeah, and what about yourself? You know, you mentioned your age. You're still only 21. You've got a massive CV behind you. You've still got plenty of years to play. But I believe Millwall have now told you you're not going to renew your contract, which effectively makes you a free agent from the end of the season. I mean, how does that feel after you've had such a great season behind you and then you get that thrown at you?
At the end of the day, it's football, as you say. I know it's cliche, but a lot of things happen in football. They're doing well at the moment, and then after how long? 13 years, just not my time there anymore. So I've got to move on and look for other things to do. Look for other clubs to go to, and then pursue my career there somewhere else.
Yeah, and do you know where you want to go next? I mean, you've scored goals already. You know, you've scored goals in the National League, National League South, and indeed against league opposition in Bury in that Woking FA Cup run. Yeah, what level do you think you're good enough to play at?
I'd ideally love to play in the Football League, but we'll see what happens at the end of the season, see which clubs might potentially be interested. But I'm desperate to play games. As I say, like, I'm really enjoying my football. I'm scoring goals again, and that's the best thing that a striker can have at the moment. When he's enjoying his football, he's scoring goals, he's playing every week, and I'm just looking forward to starting next season. I'll say hopefully it'll be in the Football League, League 2, League 1, if possible, but we'll see what happens at coming end of the season, come start the second, the start of next season.
So does that mean that you can't really have a summer off because you're mentally you don't know where you're going? So I guess you can't afford to have 2 weeks where the boys go away to a nice summer holiday, have a few beers and let themselves go a bit. You've got to stay on top, peak performance, peak fitness, in case someone comes in for you and wants you to prove themselves yourself.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for the last probably two or three seasons now. I never go away. I'll probably give myself a couple of days off where I don't do anything, and it's back after in the gym, up at my local park, doing my running, keep ticking over. And even last year when I went away with my girlfriend on holiday, which she weren't too happy about, waking up 6:30 in the morning just to go to the gym and do runs.
What?
So that won't change again this year either.
That's certainly the way to prove yourself, mate. And it's been lovely talking to you, and a great insight. You know, a man that's certainly in form at the moment. And you're probably one of these that would like an extra. Maybe Gareth Southgate could snap you up, take you to the World Cup or something. So you can play a few more extra games over the summer.
No, I think I'm a little bit off that at the moment. Maybe in a couple of years' time.
Well, yeah, I tell you, I'll save this little clip now, so in a few years' time I can play it back to you, so you can remember. Jamie Philpott, striker at Welling United, it's been fantastic talking to you. Wish you well for the remaining games of the season and for finding a club for next season. Thanks for talking to us.
All right, thank you very much. Bye.
Now, it is that time of the season when many a fan, player, manager, chairman, etc. are celebrating promotion or playoffs, so we couldn't ignore that. But with so many leagues, so many winners, we needed to make it special. And special it is. The club have only been in formation for three seasons, but in each of those, they've won their respective league title, gained promotion and moved on. Step forward, new Southern League champions Hereford, whose record reads... Champions, played 43, won 33, lost 5... drawn 5, scored 102 goals, conceded 32 goals, 104 points. Step forward, manager at Hereford, Mr. Peter Beadle. Good evening, Peter.
Evening, Tim.
Well, it's job done, isn't it? This non-league management malarkey, that's easy, isn't it?
Yeah, if only it was that easy, huh? If only it was that easy. It's been a tremendous season. It's been real hard work, but thoroughly enjoyable. But we've had, I think that, we've the cup runs we had on top of that as well. I think that makes it extra special. It's been a fantastic season so far.
Yeah, no, I've had a look at that short history. 2015-16, new club into the Midland League, step 5. Over 4,000 attended your first league game, a bigger gate than some in Division 1 of the Football League that day. You racked up 27 wins in a row, and not only do you win the title, you win the County Cup, the League Cup, and you lose the FA Vars final at Wembley. 2016-17, yeah. you lose only one in the league, secure the Southern League 1 South West title. Plus, you signed your first contract, a rolling contract with the club. 2017-18, as you say, second round of the FA Cup. FA Trophy run that sees you knock out Dagenham and Redbridge, amongst others. And then you go and secure the title before the final week of the season. Is there a blue plaque or bronze statue in the town celebrating Peter Beadle by now?
No, nothing like that. I mean, we love our jobs, and my staff are brilliant, and we work extremely hard. But we just love it. It's like what we live for. I've come out of playing, and wanting to pass on some knowledge and stuff like that. And it's just been magnificent. And the supporters have been great as well. I mean, they've, like I said, we've been averaging about. In fact, it's dropped a little bit this year. Surprisingly, it's dropped the average attendance has dropped a little bit. But
the sun will be out of the weekend, mate. They'll all come back. It'll be sunny.
I never knock them because they've been brilliant, and we've had midweek games where they've been over 2,000 on a midweek night. You know, and they've travelled in numbers always to all the away games, and there's some serious travelling from Hereford to get to a lot of the games we've been to. But hopefully, you know, we've fulfilled another step in their ambitions and their dreams to get them back to where they were, and we're now looking forward to a new season in another new league, and only one step away from where the club was before it all come tumbling down only 4 years ago.
I was going to mention that, you know, obviously every title and promotion to step nearer that mark the old club are at, is every title that little bit more special?
I think any championship is a special one. It doesn't matter what level you're at and what league. I mean, obviously we won the step five, you know, two seasons ago, and that was my first championship, and that was extremely special. I think this one is right up there, purely again because of we were so many games behind, and obviously we were the last non-league team in the FA Cup in the second round, and we had a phenomenal trophy run that was only hindered by, on one particular day, a bad refereeing decision. You know, we had a lad sent off after 10 minutes, and who knows where we could have gone in the trophy as well. So this one is extremely special, and you know, like I said, if the impossible, you say it's impossible, but if it happened next year and we could kick on and do the same again, you know, then I think that would be, you know, sort of job done, back to where we were, and you know, and back at the level where we finished, and then we can start again, if you like, and you know, and that's the ambition, that's the dream, but we know it's been extremely hard work up to now, and there's loads more hard work ahead of us, but we'll dig in, and we'll keep aiming for that, and that's what we'll try to achieve.
Yeah, back in the conference now, I'm guessing you'll be placing in Conference North or National League North. But have you seen how hard and competitive that division is already? You know, surely four back-to-backs. that's confidence. I appreciate the confidence, and you know, you've backed it up.
I'm not saying we're going to do it, but that is the aim. And like I said, and we know that, you know, I mean, at the moment, I think it's a little bit in the air of which one we're going to be putting, because we are right on the border of both. Obviously, we've at the moment, I think the four teams coming down at the moment in them four bottom positions, two southern, two northern. Obviously, the Northern Premier are going to supply two teams into that. And then obviously the Ryman Premier are going to go into the south. And then obviously ourselves, and we've got four really strong sides playing, you know, fighting for the playoffs in Kettering and King's Lynn. And sorry, my daughter's now playing up.
That's all right.
And Slough and Weymouth. And obviously, if Kettering or King's Lynn win the playoffs, then they would go north, I think, and we would go south. So, but if the other way happened and Slough or Weymouth won the playoffs, I think we'd probably go north. But there's still a lot of games to go yet, and obviously, you know, a lot of it will come down to the National League and which four teams do eventually, you know, I know two teams are already certain to go down, and which other two teams are going to follow them. So, but we'll wait and see. And the great thing about the Conference North is there's some real prestigious football clubs in there in York City, Stockport, Kidderminster. Obviously, the top two, you'd have thought they've been head and shoulders above everybody. You know, that they would maybe move on and move out of that league. You know, and then obviously it's that once them two big ones have gone, you know, the big, you know, the really big spenders at the moment, then you know, it would give a lot of other clubs an opportunity. The likes of Kidderminster, Brackley, Stockport, York are all right up there fighting for playoff places at the moment. So, you know, and we know we're at the moment as a football club, we're not anywhere near as, you know, as probably ready as they are. They've been in it, they've been there, they've been around it for a long time, them clubs, and they're a bit more, you know, a bit more solidified in them divisions. It's all going to be new for us, and obviously we know that if we go into the north, it's going to be an awful lot more travelling as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would that work with your players that you've got at the moment? Because obviously you've been having trips, you know, down to Gosport on the bottom of the south, the south of England, on a maybe Tuesday night or even on a Saturday. It's not an easy trip for you. You need to plan for players for next season, but obviously you can't until that final shake-up and agreement, I guess, probably July.
Well, we're hoping it'll be before that. I mean, we have obviously earmarked and looked and started our work probably about 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, looking forward to, you know, to the possibility of what if we do go up, of, you know, earmarking players and things like that. And obviously a big decision is going to come for the players. It's not really for us. I mean, the players are the ones that are going to have to decide, do they want to commit to the travelling if we go into the north, or, you know, if we stay in the south. I'm pretty confident that all the players we have at the moment would be keen to stop and stay. But obviously there are, you know, as always, we're part time and the lads have work, and even last week was difficult. We had a game on Monday at Hitchin, called off on the Monday, rearranged it for Thursday, and it was called off again, and the lads have taken half days off work because we had to leave at 2:30 in the afternoon. So to commit to the Northern League, and obviously with the travelling we'd have to do in that, that's going to take some commitment from the players, and obviously we know that, you know, that some of them may have to turn it down if we go to the North or walk away from it, which I'm sure they'll find extremely difficult, because a lot of them have been here a long time now. They've been here a couple of seasons and they've grown with the club, and you know, they've improved their profiles and their abilities while they've been here, but as they've gone through the leagues, but eventually there comes a point when it all comes to a head, and, you know, is maybe the decision is more based around the commitment of their work and their jobs rather than the football club they want to play for.
And obviously the next level up, but yeah, whether you're north or south, is additional expense, whatever. We know you and your staff will get things sorted on the field, and hopefully you jiggle your players around and they can commit. What about off the field? You know, is the club ready to make that next step up so soon after the formation?
I'd like to think so. I mean, they worked, the volunteers and the board worked tirelessly behind the scenes, and obviously we've had discussions over the last couple of weeks regarding obviously the playing budget and things like that. And obviously we still want to be competitive in whatever league we go into. We want to be able to be competing with them teams at the top end. You know, so obviously behind the scenes they'll be working hard. I mean, the infrastructure's great. The ground and the facility itself is spectacular now. It's all been refurbed and redone, and it's still a lovely ground to come and play at. It's still a lovely ground to come and watch football at. You know, the pitch is in great nick at the moment, and the ground's been sort of updated, new boards, new barriers, new bits and pieces. So it's all come together behind the scenes on the pitch and in the ground. It really does come down to finances again, like everything. We would need, a substantial increase in our budget to be competitive in the league above. And obviously, we only, you know, the club have always been, or have been since it's reformed, there is no one benefactor, there is no one sugar daddy. We basically spend what the club brings in through the turnstiles and through the commercial. So as while we've been successful, we've been able to keep, be competitive. And I know it sounds silly probably, but we need probably to average at maybe 3,000 to get anywhere near where we want to be able to be competing with the top end of, certainly in the Conference North, with the clubs in that, with the stature of the clubs in that league. But certainly behind the scenes they're not sort of walking away, or they're not sat on their laurels. They're still working extremely hard and tirelessly to get to where, you know, to try and fulfil this dream, this ambition of getting back to where we were, you know, and about 4 years ago. But I mean, I think the plan was to try and gain two promotions in our first three seasons. So to win three championships and have a Wembley appearance and an FA Cup round two against the League One side, I think we've overfilled our quota, if you like, for now. But no one's not enjoying it, that's for sure.
And what about you on the back of that? It's clear how much you love Hereford every time we talk to you, but there must have been interest from other clubs at a higher level for your services.
I don't know, Tim. I mean, I mean, obviously, when I was at the club before, I made a bond. I did very well with the youth team. Me and Steve had a great run with the kids there, and thoroughly enjoyed working there. It's a great city. It's being redone out now, the city, and it's coming to life again, and now the football club's putting the city back on the map. But obviously we all have our ambitions. The players will have the same. I have the same. You know, I want to be a full-time manager. I want to be given an opportunity, you know, but I could possibly do it with Hereford. So, you know, but we also know that it only takes a, you know, half a season for things not to go particularly well, and that all changes again. But my ambitions are the same. I want to manage at the highest level I can, and obviously I'd like to get there as quickly as I can. And at the moment we're troughing through division after division at the moment. But that doesn't waver my ambition. And at the moment the club have had, I'm under contract, and the club have had no official, from what I can gather, no official interest from anybody at the moment. And I certainly haven't spoken to anybody at the moment. But like I said, football is a funny old game, and there are lots of clubs out there at the moment working with caretaker managers till the end of the season. And who knows what'll happen. But my future is clearly, my focus is clearly with Hereford at the moment. And obviously it's we're planning for next season already now, and we're getting on with the work in hand. But what'll be will be. And like I said, it football can change so quickly from one day to the next, and it's that type of business. But yeah, I do love this club, and they've given me an opportunity, and I'm trying to grab it with both hands. But obviously we're all extremely ambitious, and we all wanna be, you know, the best we can be as I was when I was a player, and as I want to be as a coach and a manager now.
Yeah, and you've not made a bad fist of it. So what next? You've still got, 9 points to play for against some of the playoff chasers too. Is it as you were for the final matches?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I think that's the standard we've set. I think last season when we went one defeat in the league last year, when we won the league, we won it with 6 games to go. And obviously the demands on the players then were, right, you know, I don't want to fall away now, and I don't want this to, you know, we want to rack up as many points as we can, and we want to, you know, it's one of them things where I think that it's the way to be in football is, once you get a taste of it, be greedy, want as much as you can have, and no one's ever going to give it to you, you've got to go and take it. So I don't expect Kettering to come on Saturday and roll over just because we've won the league. Now they're fighting for playoff places, and they want to be as high as they can. And I expect my players to turn up and be focused and ready to go. And then we've got another long trip on Wednesday night to Hitchin. And then we go all the way to St Ives on the last day of the season. And like I said, and as always, with the 3 years that I've had here so far, is no game's an easy one. We see the best of everybody every week. And the players need to be ready for that. And I wouldn't, you know, I certainly don't drop my, you know, my standards, and I don't drop my levels of focus, and I don't expect my players to either.
Peter Beadle, always a pleasure to speak to you. How fantastic to win 3 titles back to back. It's just incredible. But we can see why you've done it, and you know, yourself and all your staff as well. You did name check a few, and I know how important they are to you as well. But we wish you well in those remaining 3 games, and I look forward to speaking to you next season.
Thank you very much, Tim. Always a pleasure.
So that's it for this week. Thanks, as ever, to all our guests and, of course, to you for listening. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season and, of course, tell all your friends and family that we are available on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Deezer, on TuneIn Radio. And, of course, if you do want to put our podcast on your website, check out www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. where you can grab an embeddable player for free. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibba Jabba Production. JIBBA. JABBA.